It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
The one and only Darren Green Show. Hello and welcome again to the Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture news, music, social media gossip, and reality TV. Please be sure that if you are watching this on YouTube to leave your thoughts in the comments, okay? Leave a like. And if you're not already subscribed to the channel, girl, what are we doing? Subscribe to that goddamn channel. Also, to the OTO listeners, what's going on? Be sure to rate the podcast, leave a review. Hey, I'm letting y'all know right now on the audio podcast and listen on Spotify. Spotify just announced recently that they have a comment section. You can actually comment on the show. Come on, Apple. The best is in your court, honey. You know, I would love, like I said in previous episodes, I love interacting. I would love to interact with some of the audio listeners. I feel like I've just never seen you guys before. I just see there's a number. I see that there's people listening, but I never get to, you know, hear what you guys have to say about the show. I mean, yeah, they got the rate. They got the 5-star rating and you can leave a comment, but nobody got time to be doing all that. You got to make an account and all this other stuff. Girl, anybody got time for that? Put comments on the goddamn thing, Apple Podcasts. Put comments on it, okay? Spotify done beat you in your own game. But anyway, yeah, if you do want to listen on Spotify, you can comment now and tell me what you think. Like I said, curse me out if you feel it need be, okay? What's going on, guys? You know, I'm over here. Let me show y'all something. I got me a little souvenir. Got me a little souvenir. Okay, you hear that fan? You hear that fan audio listeners, child? I'm just showing my little fan, child, that I got from the Cowboy Carter concert. Okay. I will put on my fedora, or someone told me it's not called a fedora, it's just called a cowboy hat, whatever. But I don't want to mess up my hair, child. I already spent like 10, 15 minutes trying to get this thing together, child. Early in the morning on Sunday, you know, because, yeah, I always got something to do on the weekends. First of all, even though it's Monday, happy Pride Month. Pride Month started as I'm recording this episode. It's the first day of June. So, you know, it's definitely very much like we need to hold this month near and dear to our hearts because we don't know what the status of, you know, things, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, be a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but we do know that there was a lot of sponsors that kind of pulled out for Pride. Like they pulled out of, you know, support and funding for a lot of these Pride events. And obviously, you know, a lot of the funding comes from these sponsors. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're still going to have a lot of Pride events. They had DC Pride. So things are still moving and shaking, but, you know, with this tyrannical new regime, this Christian nationalist regime, child, I don't know what's to come. So you better look enjoy it while you can, because I don't know how things are going to go. But anyway, like I said, I went to Cowboy Carter. It was amazing. It was like, I don't know if I'm going to have a little video grab playing over this video or whatever, but I had a goddamn blast. Okay, first of all, let me tell y'all something. Never again, and I, you know, shout out to the people that got it. You got to do it. You got to do it. If you ain't got it, I'm not, don't spend your last. But I'm never getting nosebleed again. Like, I had so much, like, when I tell you, and she was on that car, when she was on that car singing 16 Carriages, and she kind of flew past everybody, when she, I saw her face. That's the closest I've ever gotten to any celebrity, let's be fair, let alone a Beyonce. You get what I'm saying? So the fact that I saw her, and I think she saw her, I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, what? Yes, that was amazing. Like I said, I got a souvenir, went with a friend, you know, one of my good friends, EJ, you know, she be in the comments, shout out to her. But yeah, I'm only doing 100 section. I'm only going to be in the hundreds. I'm never being in the 300s, child, ever again. Because even, you know what I say, I hate after the concert is over, because like, I be wanting to go home right away, but you got to, it's a whole bunch of people. You got to, you know, wait. I feel like it was a better experience leaving, because first of all, she did end the show one time. Thank God. Let's give Beyonce a bomb, honey, for that, child. Because when I tell you, girl, you ended your show at 12 o'clock. I'm like, what's going on? I think we ended around like 11 something. We got out around, we got out the actual MetLife Stadium around like 12. Got home around 2. You get what I'm saying? Last time I got home at 3. So this is definitely a big improvement. I will say that when it comes to the MetLife Stadium, girl, when y'all was letting us in, I'm like, girl, it was so unorganized. I mean, partly it could have been because of us, because we didn't know where to go. But it's just, oh my God, we're just walking around. Everybody's randomly in line. There's always several different lines. Leaving was a little bit more organized, though, because there's a shuttle. If you're commuting, there's a shuttle train that takes you to the station to go home. But this time they had shuttle buses. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Why didn't y'all do this last time? Had us in there. We waited train to train. One train would go because everybody it would get filled. Then we had to wait for the next train to come. It was a mess. It was a mess the first time with Renaissance. But this time it was a lot more organized leaving, because I feel like everybody want to go home. Everybody, including the people that got to work there, everybody wants to go home and quick as possible, because we done seen Beyonce, yada, all that's good. Now I want to go home. But it was a really good experience. Actually, like I said, I got some merch. You know, I had some Sir Davis. You know, I'm definitely... She had the whiskey with the lemonade, which, you know, we used her liquor. 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. I love a good liquor to go down easy. I don't like that liquor that want to bite back and all that alcohol and all that rubbing alcohol. Let me not, no, I'm rubbing alcohol, child. I don't like a liquor that kind of bite back. This went down really smooth and it tasted really good with the lemonade. I'm going to be buying me some Sir Davis and some Simply Lemonade. We're going to make a damn concoction. Okay. What's going on, guys? What is happening? We have a lot to get into, child. Girl. Okay, let's get into the docket, honey, because we have to talk about Brian McKnight's, you know, unfortunate passing of his son. We'll talk about DDG just for a split second, because I'm just like, girl, Holly, take some notes. We got to talk about Just With The Mess, because, you know, I am going to have my final word on that whole debacle. We'll talk about Tory Lanez and his team still trying to get Megan. You know, Trump is trying to pardon Diddy and all that and more coming up on the Darren Green Show, I guess. Where can we start? Oh, my goodness. So we can start with the Brian McKnight story, because it's a really sad story, but I got some things to motherfucking say, okay, about this situation. Now, we haven't talked about this a lot. You know, I've talked about it on other shows and stuff like that. Like, I've got the gist of what has been happening. Basically, Brian McKnight, the singer, has disowned his kids. That's what the story was. That's what I heard. He disowned his kids and is now claiming his new kids with his new wife. Okay, and that's the whole thing. But I'm going to read this little excerpt. I'm going to give you guys my thoughts, okay? Now, it said that Brian McKnight's brother, Clyde, delivered some heartbreaking news on TikTok. He says that his nephew, Nico, which is Brian McKnight's son, has passed away after putting up a strong fight against his cancer diagnosis. The passing is even sadder as we know that his relationship with his father had landed in not a great place. Brian's relationship with his children has been a big conversation in the recent years, with him calling them a product of sin. Brian McKnight calls his first kids, you know, before the white one, a product of sin. Okay. Things seemed to be looking up in the middle of 2024 when Brian took to Instagram and said that he stopped to get Nico, you know, proper help with his health, along with his wife, whoever the fuck that girl is, saying that even though all the nonsense has been going through the years, we jumped into action. Brian says that he made arrangements for Nico, gave his medical records to the best doctors and more, but was somehow allegedly stopped by his ex-wife, Julia McKnight. He claims she gave him a very hostile call and told him that Nico didn't need his help, so he'd step back. In quotes, "I can only imagine that if that help came from me, that it would go against the strong narrative that is being pushed out there about me." That's what Brian said, child. In a tweet from last year, Nico said he really wanted to mend things with his father due to his health, but didn't get a good response, right? And we can actually read, before I play Brian, what Brian McKnight's brother said, we can read some of the tweets that Nico said. Basically, he was like, "When I was about to die in the hospital from complications from my cancer, I just wanted to bury the hatchet and hear him and say that he loves me. And he told me that he couldn't arbitrarily tell me that he loves me, still cut so deep." So, I mean, he's there, like he's, you know, he's being a parent, you know, helping him out, but he's not there with him emotionally. They haven't mended the bond or whatever, you know, they went through. He also continued to say that we were bad children. Sure, yes, but my sisters have always deserved better. They don't deserve this outright disrespect. Hate us all day. You don't get to be in a place of shit forever and still skate by with all that we know. You know, a lot of unresolved issues, I should say. And there's a lot that we don't know. I think it's terrible. This is what the brother said, though.
"So all day, I said to myself, I wasn't going to post about this. And as the day wore on, I realized that how could I not post about this? This morning, I found out that my nephew, Nico McKnight, passed away. He'd been bravely battling cancer for the last 2 years or so. And I have a lot of feelings right now. I'm not going off a script or anything like that. I'm just gonna be raw with how I'm feeling. Nico was one of those amazing kids who was quirky and curious and ridiculously talented. Amazing singer, an amazing guitar player, had a great eye, was a photographer. And just one of those kids that, at least in my estimation, was somebody you always wanted to be around. And so it really sucks that he's no longer with us. And I will also say, probably one of the reasons why I wasn't going to post about it is I post a lot of things, but I don't post a lot of really serious subject things, or certainly family things. And I wanted to post this about Nico, about his legacy, about how amazing he is, and not about what some of you may have heard about, you know, the family drama that has existed for quite some time in our family. I'm not here to discuss that or to talk about how that happened or why it happened. This is not the time or the place, but what I will say is, in any situation, there's always at least three sides to a story. There's my side, your side, and the truth. And the truth, a lot of times, is somewhere in between. So here's the thing."
Yeah, I'm going to stop him right there, child, because look, we can sit there and be this, you know, this bipartisan, what's the word, neutral stand on this. But at the end of the day, this man walked away from his kids. You're calling them, what he said, products of sin. You already have a junior, but the new kids with the new wife, you are basically, you have fucking two or three juniors. So you wanted to erase these kids And, you know, at the end of the day, yes, it takes two to tango. There is two sides to every story. As he said, there's three sides of every story. But sometimes as a parent, you got to bite the bullet and just be like, you know what? Fuck all this that we got going on. What can we do to mend this bond? What can we do to move forward and be in a pot? Because at the end of the day, you know, these people will die. And, you know, you'll not have these connections ever again with these people. Now, I don't know how Brian McKnight feels. Maybe he feels relieved that... I'm not going to say that. Let me not say that, because that is kind of cruel to say. But at the end of the day, like, you still got some kids. You still got the other kids that you have that are still alive. You should try to mend the bond and try to see what is it that y'all got going on. There's a lot that we don't know. We don't know what's going on in that family. And I'm not here to say that anybody's the angel. You know, I'm always going to be the advocate for the kid or for the child, because at the end of the day, nobody asked to be here. You call them a product of sin. They didn't ask to be here. Okay? They didn't ask for none of this shit. You brought them into existence. And you have an issue with your child's mother and vice versa. She got an issue with you. But you let that diminish the relationship with your kids. Now, that's not being a good parent. It ain't being a good parent at all. Because, I mean, who's to say, God damn it, this new wife ain't working out. And then the kids get older and stuff like that. Now you want to fornicate with somebody else. And then now you disowning the other kids. You get what I'm saying? You can't just cast people away. And this is the type of karma. And I hate to call it karma, because it's like somebody died of cancer. Let's be very clear. But this is the karma that you get sometimes when you are like this. Now you're going to think about this for the rest of your life. Your child, I mean... He literally passed away. I mean, you didn't even make a statement. A statement wasn't even made. You know? I mean, as of Sunday, June 1st. Cause I didn't hear any response. I didn't hear anything that he said. So he didn't make a response as of today. It is terrible. It really is terrible. You know, it's really not much else to say. So we're going to move on. Okay, now let's talk about some positive parenting, okay? Let's talk about some positive parenting before we get into these hot talks. I want to talk about Zaya Wade. Hey, you know, shout out to Zaya. Shout out to the Wade. Hey. I love them all. You know, I love me some Gabby, you know. Yeah, I love me some Gabrielle Union. Dwayne Wade, you know, you are definitely... You're being a model parent, even though people want to say otherwise, even though people want to be like, oh, you're castrating your son. And girl, let's move past a lot of this. But Zaya Wade said something that was very interesting. Basically, Zaya speaks to her father about the challenges of being trans, and especially in the Black community. I just want to share what she said.
I think that a part of us learning about the trans experience is also me just getting more comfortable with you and talking to you about things. Because, I mean, okay, Chicago, African-American man. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff. Not to stereotype, but not often do you have a full-blown conversation with a Black man. So it's hard. And there's a bit of almost like a cultural barrier sometimes to talk to Black people about that kind of stuff, especially queer stuff. Man, they would not be liking us. But no, I think it was hard to break through like my stereotype of you even. You know, I think people think it's like you trying to understand what being trans is like, but it was like me trying to understand what you were like, because I have this image of mainly just men in general, but especially a Black man is, you know, stuck in their ways and like rigid in those things that they don't want to like move past. And so I think I had to understand that that's just not true and let you in to understand me. And so when you talk about conversations, like it reminds me like, you know, our road trips, like when we just go on like little drives, like around town and end up, you know, just talking about super like deep stuff. It's like those moments for me are the best ways that I think I can communicate myself. I think that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what that is, because I feel even for me and my, cause I'm not trans, I could not imagine what that entails, but just as a queer person, like learning that not everybody is going to get it. Not everybody. You don't need to have these conversations with everybody, especially when it comes to the Black community. You know, for the most part, there are a lot of allies. You get what I'm saying? There are a lot of people, you know, at the end of the day, we all Black. So, yeah, there's going to be some people that are in communities with us. And then there's going to be people that, you know, you're not going to get those conversations. It's not that. They don't want to learn. They just want everything to be the same and everything to be, you know, how they vision it and, you know, following the good book and all this other crap and whatever. I think that it's very refreshing to watch like a parent dynamic with Zaya and Dwayne, because you would think, you know, look, he's a basketball player. He has an image, you get what I'm saying, to keep and all this other stuff. And he says, screw all that. I'm going to be an advocate for my child throughout their decisions. And I think that that's so beautiful to watch and to see that people are still feeling some type of way. Like they're going to continue to feel some type of way. They're going to continue to say things that they don't understand. Really, well, I mean, this is a good segue because we could talk about Jess with the Mess or Jess Unhilarious or whatever you want to call her today. Because, honey, okay, I've been talking about this for a whole week. Actually, I haven't been talking about it for a whole week. I did a post on it and I've just been commenting and going back and forth with people all week. And I really had to sit and think. And I'm just like, you know what? I want to look inward and not. You know, we still gonna drag her a good amount of this damn segment. Let's be very clear on that. But I want to have a different conversation, and I don't want to have this war between queer folk and women. You get what I'm saying? Because it's not that there is no beef. There is no one is better than the other, and one is valid than the other. It's just people living their lives. But anyway, Jess Hilarious, I like to call her Jess Unhilarious. Took the opportunity to yet again call herself slam dunking on the trans community, you know, in regards to womanhood and having babies and all this other stuff. Now, here's the story. There's a content creator by the name of Lene Vinay. Shout out to her. She stopped by the Breakfast Club to promote her show on Revolt TV. And, you know, she was sidewiped by Jess when she basically mentioned that only women can have babies, to which Lene was very eloquent in explaining why that's incorrect, and that, you know, her statement was that basically saying that women, a social construct versus female, a biological fact, are not the same thing depending on how someone identifies. Okay, so this was the clip in question, okay?
I want somebody who knows that women can have babies.
Oh, okay.
Only women can have babies. I just want to let you know that.
Interesting. There are other people who can have babies.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a uterus, they can have babies, but they just might not identify as woman.
Okay.
Those are two different things. Like, you can be biologically female, but you can't be biologically woman. Because woman is a gender construct, a social construct.
Okay.
If you got a uterus, yeah, you can have a baby.
Yes, that's the point. If you have a uterus, you can have a baby.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we agree on that.
Look, here's the thing. So she got a ton of backlash, of course, and you know, she posted this picture basically saying, my uterus is my superpower, signed by a woman. Woohoo!
Good for you!
Yeah, so I thought the interaction was very funny and I thought it was very stupid at the same time. I had to watch a large portion of this interview, right? Because I had to understand what was the context of this. Like, maybe they were talking about trans people at this moment, and that's when she made that statement. Because if that's the case, then that's the case. You know, that's how you believe. I mean, I don't coincide with that, and some people don't. Some people do, and a lot of people do. But sure. But it was literally, Lene was talking about her ideal man. First of all, this was about Lene. She's the one that's being interviewed. No one asked you about anything. You're supposed to ask the questions. Radio host. That's one. And two, she talks about what's her ideal man. And then you was like, well, I just want someone that understands that only women can have babies. I'm pretty sure the niggas that you deal with have that same pea brain mindset. Let's be very clear on that. I don't know if Jess is trying to be like this shock jock host that says things that are kind of rage baity. Like she's tapping into our Howard Stern or Charlamagne the God or whatever the case is, but it's actually not working and it's actually very annoying. Okay. And that's why I always said we like Lauren a whole lot better, even though Lauren was kind of getting a little dragged a little bit for her coverage on Diddy. Cause yeah, girl, come on, be that journalist. Don't be the shock jock. Okay. She sounds fucking stupid. And it's just, and then there is no other way to say it. Now see how And let me just let y'all know on something. Notice how with this situation, everybody's mind went to trans women. Jess, people in the comments of all the blogs, people in my comments, because I talked about it on my TikTok. Like, trans women are on the brain because it really had nothing to do with trans women. When Lene made that statement, you know, not only women can have babies, she was referring to trans men or non-binary people that don't, you know, coincide with the gender construct. You know, she basically was saying that there's a difference between female and woman. Woman is more of a social construct. You, I always say it like, when you're born, what are you born? Are you born a woman? Are you born a man? No, you are born a freaking baby, one. And then you are a boy or a girl. And you learn manhood or you learn womanhood and you become a woman. You're not born a woman. You're born female or male. That's the difference. And I think that's what Lene was trying to say. But also, we weren't talking about trans women. Because there was a lot of people in my comments talking about, oh, well, you know, at the end of the day, y'all just need to understand that she was saying the truth. Men can't have babies. Men cannot have babies. If you got a penis, you cannot have a baby. When was we talking about trans women? When was we talking about that? When was we talking about trans women? Yeah, so like I said, there was no reason for trans women to even be involved, you know, because they don't have uteruses. Let's be very clear. And trans women understand this. The community understands this at large. People that got brains. You get what I'm saying? No one has ever said, you have never seen a trans person, a trans woman, excuse me, not person, a trans woman say that I can have a baby. I have a uterus. I have a period. I have all of these things that females, you've never seen a trans woman say that. And if you did, I mean, were you talking about Sydney Starr or some shit or some, you know, some person that just was not educated? Then okay. I mean, it's probably, and yes, there are people that have those theories of, oh, they can put a uterus inside of a, first of all, nobody on our side of the conversation is saying that. It's a lot of stuff going on social media. It's a lot of people saying that they can do that stuff. Look, I'm not here to say that it's ethical. I'm not here to say that if it's possible. I'm just here to say that not everybody's saying that and not everybody's believing that. We understand. And for just to respond to the backlash, basically showing some cute little baby pictures or a cute little baby picture that she took or whatever. That's cute. But girl, okay. It gives very much, ooh, a slam dunk. I can do this and you can. Who hurt you? And that's why I said in my first TikTok, I was like, who was the trans woman that read her for filth? Because, you know, Jess likes to read people for filth. Who read her for filth? Okay. Because at the end of the day, I need y'all to freaking apologize because she done took it out on the whole community. Okay. The whole consensus of trans women. Okay, let's be very clear on that. And basically she made that post to say that, you know, no one can take this away from me. And, you know, I just don't understand. No one is taking anything from you. And that's what I want people to understand when we have these conversations and, you know, some of these debates happen. No one is taking anything away from cis women. And I'm using cis women because I understand some people don't like you saying that, but at the end of the day, it's the goddamn academic term. Okay, I'm differentiating trans women with cis women. Okay, so that's why I'm using it. So sorry in advance if you guys are offended by me saying that. But no one is trying to take anything away from cis women. Like, no one is, no one has. It's just people that identify with a specific gender. That's really all it is. But I'm not going to drag Jess anymore because I feel like she got enough dragging. I want to lean more into empathy because we have to understand. And like I said, I don't agree with any of the things that she be saying. But I have an understanding where this aggression comes from. For many years, people have called this woman masculine. You know, when she, first of all, I was a big fan of her when she first was doing her little Jess with the Mess, you know, the little news thing. And it was cute. It was funny. I felt like just, she did it in a way that seemed very clever and funny. Like, now it just seems punching down. That's her shtick now, which I think is so corny because she used to be so freaking talented back in the day. You know, they get commercial and they start changing. But I remember people, you know, people used to say that she looked like a man, and we know where that comes from. We know that's colorism, that's anti-blackness, it's transphobia, of course. And not to mention, you know, who knows what was her upbringing when she grew up? Because I know that there's a lot of people that call darker skinned black women men and trans. And we have women in real life, you get what I'm saying, that, you know, were accused of being trans when they're not. And they get beat up. They get attacked by men. You get what I'm saying? So when T.S. Madison said transphobia affects all women, that really is the truth. Because, you know, sometimes some stupid people be like, oh, well, you know, you seem like you trans or whatever. So I feel like I got to put hands on you. There's actual cases like that. So I think that throughout the years, I felt like she probably felt like she had to differentiate herself from that community so that no one thinks that, you know, I'm not part of that. I'm not that. You know, she even said that there was a man that wanted to date her or whatever because she thought she was trans or whatever. So it's a lot of that went on, and it probably molded her mind into thinking that, yeah, these people are bad and I don't want to be associated with these people at all, and they're not akin to me at all, and I don't want people to think that I am. So let me just say what I need to say so I can show my disapproval for this community and I'm real and you're not. And we see this happen so many times, and it's so unfortunate. I hate that, you know, it really does resort to this, because it seems like every other time, every other episode, because it's not the only time. There was something else that she said that was like low-key slick. Anybody said nothing about it, but, you know, that's just how, you know, it is what it is. But she's been saying stuff repeatedly, and I'm just like, and it's not that nobody is coming for you. You are starting it. And that's the thing, too. Some people was in my comments like, oh, at the end of the day, like, why are you mad? Because she said her opinion, this, that, and the third. Unprovoked. It's one thing if we having a conversation. Look, you can't say nothing. You can't say too much about Candace Owens. You speak to her about certain topics, she going to say her opinion. But I've never noticed. Oh, Lord, let me not say that, because, no, Candace Owens will say something unprovoked. I am not going to lie. I'm not going to fucking lie right now. But basically, I think over time, to combat what people have said about her, she takes it out on the people, in this case, trans women, and understand that's the byproduct of misogyny war. It all goes back to misogyny. It all goes back. Because I really feel like, I might die on this hill. I don't think she really has a problem with trans women. I really don't think it is. I think that she wants to differentiate herself from that narrative that what people say that she looked like a man or she's trans or this and third. I feel like she wants to differentiate. In that part, I can understand. But we got to point the fingers at the people that's doing that, for the people that's saying that about you. It's men. The same men that you freaking cape for. Oh, she's a very male-centered woman. Very male-centered. And I don't know why. The way that they treated your ass when you came back to work after your pregnancy. And girl, we didn't know if he was coming or going. Like, they put that girl Lauren on there. And even though I don't like your ass, Jess, I felt like that was kind of messed up that they did. I did say that. Now, y'all can date my episodes back. I did say that. Now, I might have been a little shady, you know, and said that, well, you know, that's karma. But I did say that was some messed up shit that they did. And they did that to you. You know? And people, a lot of people in the community, they were on your side. So, you know, and you're isolating some of your fans, because I'm pretty sure you and TT, did her and TT ever do, it was her and, no, TT was with the girl, Lala. But they worked together before. They're cool. You know, I'm pretty sure you had some trans fans, like you're isolating a good sector of your fans. But I guess you don't care about that. You know, we can't make anybody care about things. I just keep it pushing, honey. You don't have to say nothing about nobody that you don't mess with. Just keep it pushing. But, you know, it's going to be another situation. It's going to be another person that they have on, and she's going to say something slick, and it's going to start the cycle all over again. We have this never-ending story. Is this the only thing that you can get fame off of now or clout off of now? This is the only thing that's going to get your name in the headlines. Why don't be a good commentator, you know, and get to the nitty gritty, or say, you know, say, make a shady, you know, question to a celebrity or something like that to get a viral moment. You got to punch down people that's not even hitting you. They're not even trying you right now. You get what I'm saying? You will never be Angela Yee. That's just going to be my final word on this. You will never be Angela Yee. because Angela Yee kept the people together. She grounded the conversations, even though they talked over her a lot. But she definitely, she's a real journalist. Lauren is a real journalist. Jess, you are a burning match. And I don't mean that before y'all sit there and be like, oh, you talking about her skin color? Ain't nobody talking about that. When I say burning match, I mean 30 minutes. Like, girl, we are. You still not talking enough on that show. And that's where you come to the forefront when you want to be transphobic. Like, girl, it's going to get old. It's going to get old. Trust. And they'll sit there and usher you out of this place, and you'll be on your back to doing your little tour, your comedy tours and stuff like that. And, you know, whatever, child. Girl, y'all tell me what y'all think about that in the comments, honey. Anyway, what else we got to talk about? Okay, so Tory Lanez. Oh, my God. Do I have anything? Okay. All right. So, a lot that has happened. We talked about this last week. Basically, last episode, we talked about how the security guard of Kelce, air quotes, security guard, claimed that he was on a call where he overheard her on a call, basically detailing that she was the one that shot Meg. Well, I'm going to read this little excerpt and then we'll give you guys my thoughts, because Tory Lanez's team just released a video and audio that proves that a woman was the one who shot Megan Thee Stallion back in 2020. That woman, obviously Kelce. In the clip, a man claims that he saw a woman fire a gun during a fight with Megan. He claims he saw two women fighting before the shots rang out and a woman started crawling away from the car. Tory's team is hoping this footage helps overturn his 10-year sentence, but Megan's camp is not having it, okay? Her lawyer clapped back, saying that all of this info was already brought up during the trial and Tory was convicted fair and square. Let's take a look. Before we play some of these audios, let's take a look at what... Actually, no. We're going to play the audio in the video. I'm going to let y'all know it's really hard to hear. Sorry for the audio listeners.
Wait, no, it didn't. No?
They shot out of the car?
Well, windows were open. That's why it sounded like either way. Yeah, I didn't
know. They were on my side. The girl opened the door. Two girls fighting. And then they shot. Okay. She got out of the car and crawled over. Then the gun...
You see, you're seeing the girl shoot? So you see the girl doing the shooting?
I see what appears to be the girl standing here and going, in shooting into the car. That's what it looked like to me. But it was dark, and I'm above, so... But then the guy gets out again from the back.
Okay, so those are the two audios, okay? So this is... They are really trying. They're working overtime to get Tory up out of that damn jail. Okay, this was the actual statement from Megan Thee Stallion's attorney. That's Alex Shapiro. I got to get a little closer because, honey, this is on Instagram, honey. Tory Lanez's team can't keep their story straight. Spiro says last week they argued that Kelce shot Megan, and now they claim that Megan stepped on glass. They continue to rehash old evidence from the trial and packaging it as new information to desperately sway the public opinion. There is no new evidence displayed today, simply a sad attempt from Tory's team to copy our presentation format to paddle misinformation. It's embarrassing that Florida Congressman Anna Paulina Luna is interrogating herself into the California criminal justice system for clickbait. Instead, she should be focused on serving her own constituents in Florida rather than chasing celebrities. Okay, that's what was said from Megan's legal team. Whew, it's a lot to unpack here. Okay, so basically this is kind of never before seen audio and video footage. We knew of this guy by the name of Sean Kelly that basically corroborated with Tory Lanez's defense, saying that there was a fight. And Kelce grabbed a gun and did what she did to Meg. And, you know, Meg, unfortunately, does not have anybody to corroborate her story, in which it was her leaving the car and Tori kind of standing over the car, in the car, outside the car. It is very convoluted. I'm not going to hold you. Like, that man was standing in the car. He that short. He standing in the car to do what you did in the whole dance bitch thing and shooting. Okay, here's the thing, right? Because I feel like, girl, this is another one of these never-ending stories. The fact that this man, Sean Kelly, was able to see everything play out, like he was, like, right there. Okay, red flag number one. The narrative now is that, you know, Megan and Kelsey was in cahoots to try to get this man, you know, to be put in jail. But if Kelsey did it and Megan is lying, to me, it just does not make any sense, because why would Megan allow Kelsey in the hospital after the shooting? And it's a lot of things that are coming out. I still have questions in regards to why would Megan lie and say that Tori did it when it was Kelsey? Because at the end of the day, honey, if I get shot, I'm saying it. I think what really did her in was the fact that she did that first initial lie, basically saying that she stepped on glass. I would have detailed who shot me, because you know who shot your child. Or maybe she doesn't know. And that's another conversation as well. We'll get into that a little bit later. But also, if Kelsey did shoot Meg, why would she go to the hospital? There is records of Kelsey going to the hospital the day after the shooting. Why would Megan allow that woman into that hospital if she was the one that did it? Okay. Why did they eventually turn on each other? You get what I'm saying? If they were in cahoots, right? Because that's what people are saying now, that's in cahoots. And you can miss me with this Roc Nation ploy to silence Tory. Y'all can miss me with the whole he was about to buy NBC, or he was a good writer and they was trying to keep him to writing music for Beyonce. Like, y'all can miss me with all that bull crap. Or if y'all want to admit, or if we can maybe agree to disagree that, okay, what if Megan didn't know who shot her? You know, you're in the heat of the moment and it's clear that she did get shot. Look, at the end of the day, it's very convoluted. Megan's initial issue, like her fault in all this, was that she tried to protect Tori and Kelsey. She should have said that the moment them cops showed up and he was getting arrested, he was getting read his Miranda rights, I would have been like, that motherfucker right there shot me. Or if it was Kelsey, I would have said that was Kelsey. But I just do not believe that it was Kelsey. And the evidence that y'all showing, just like what Megan's legal team is also saying, it's not holding up. It was stuff that was already talked about and already was refuted. Just like Charlamagne said, all this shit is speculation and hearsay. Because, you know, they had Tomi Lahren, a conservative commentator, on that show. And notice when I say conservative, very suspicious. I find it very suspicious that there's a lot of conservative, either politicians or people that are just like commentators that's, you know, that are in the conservative realm. I think that it's kind of weird that they are attaching themselves to this situation now. Tory Lanez's team is working day in and day out to control the narrative. And at the end of the day, because the day gonna end, okay, why wasn't this brought up in trial? Now, the lawyers do say that they did say that this was brought up in trial and, like I said, was refuted. We're not trying to appeal. Well, they made a statement that their appeal is pending. So, you know, they're waiting on the court system to sit there and see if they want to appeal this or whatever. Okay, fine. But my biggest question is, why do you keep going to these blogs? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to sway public opinion. And it's working. It's working because people are stupid enough to believe it. You know, a recorded conversation, right, of a witness miraculously says that the woman had the gun and they got into a scuffle. Can nobody explain why Tory Lanez was so apologetic in a text message thread? What was he so apologetic for? Because of that night. This wouldn't have happened if I wasn't drunk. That's the only reason why. What happened? What happened? You would have never did it. You would have never did what? No. And for Amber Rose to sit there and pop her goddamn gums and say, I actually spoke to Tory Lanez and I know exactly what he was apologetic for. Bitch, you don't know shit. It's a lot of people speaking out about this situation, girl. And let me tell you this, mark my words. If they get this man out, the next person's going to be Diddy. They're going to try to pardon Diddy because it's already in the works. Oh, it's already in the works. Oh, did you see Trump? And that's a perfect segue. Trump is talking about pardoning Diddy. If the evidence are, you know, not evidencing. Girl, take a look at this.
You mentioned once in 2012 that Diddy was a good friend of yours back then. He has since found himself in some very serious legal trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you ever consider pardoning him?
Well, nobody's asked. You had to be the one to ask, Peter, but nobody's asked. But I know people are thinking about it. I know they're thinking about it. I think some people have been very close to asking. First of all, I'd look at what's happening. And I haven't been watching it too closely, although it's certainly getting a lot of coverage. I haven't seen him. I haven't spoken to him in years. He used to really like me a lot, but I think when I ran for politics, he sort of that relationship busted up from what I read. I don't know. He didn't tell me that, but I'd read some little bit nasty statements in the paper all of a sudden. You know, it's different. You become a much different person when you run for politics and you do what's right. I could do other things, and I'm sure he'd like me, and I'm sure other people would like me, but it wouldn't be as good for our country. As we said, our country's doing really well because of what we're doing. So I can't, it's not a popularity contest. So I don't know. I would certainly look at the facts. If I think somebody was mistreated, whether they like me or don't like me, it wouldn't have any impact on me.
Okay, so it's kind of, it's up in the air, honey, about that, because you did say, if he did say some nasty stuff about Trump in the past, shot Trump, okay, let's be very clear. Look, he hold grudges. Anyway, mark my words, Diddy is going to be next. If Diddy is actually found guilty and goes to jail, like, he will be pardoned. These conservatives, just this how these conservatives attach themselves to this whole Tory Lanez and Meg Thee Stallion situation. They're going to attach themselves to Diddy. They're going to come after people like Cassie and the male escorts and people that were victimized by this person. And they will try to get the media to kind of change their opinions and their perspective, on what had happened. Oh, they'll make somebody look at that damn video with Cassie getting beat up and be like, well, actually, what was she doing there? Why she could have left. We already got people like, I forgot that other guy, that damn Bill Murray or some shit like that. He's talking about something. Oh, well, Cassie could have left. He could have left. You know, she could have left that relationship. Get the fuck out of here. Accountability is only for the poor. If you are rich and famous, you literally can do whatever you want and not see any type of time. I'm telling you right now, they're going to, if they get Tory out, they're going to set their sights on Diddy to get him exonerated. I'm telling you right now. And I just wonder how Jaguar Wright feels. I wonder, because, you know, you was geek-keying it all up at the Mar-a-Lago. Okay, getting an award, some stupid bullshit-ass award. And saying, oh, our president is stealing and all this other stuff. Well, your president probably wants Diddy to come out. And it's something that you worked hard for years to get, you know. I just find it so funny. We're just so ass backwards right now. It's a very spooky-ooky time right now. Let's be very clear on that. Honey, we can move on, girl. I got a couple of topics for the TikTok beef of the week because, honey, it's some conversations that need to be had before I get up out this show, child. Now, everything is demonic. I'm sorry. Everything is fucking demonic right now. Oh, my goodness. We have unfortunately reached the first stage of this fascist Christian nationalist regime. Okay? The first wave is everybody calling shit demonic right now. Everybody think this is the end of days, honey. We are in purgatory right now, and things are just coming out of the, you know, all the demonic things are just coming out of the woodwork and everything, and people are starting to realize it and have these dreams and recollections of things happening, girl. First of all, there's people going around and saying that Dr. Bronner's soap is demonic because they changed some things with the actual packaging of the actual soap bottle. Now, I ain't got a dog in this fight because I never did like that. Was it hand soap? Is it body wash? What is it? Is it freaking, what they call it, shampoo or some shit? It just never looked like hand soap. I could not stand when people used to have it in their bathrooms. And I'm like, what is this? What is this art project? This freaking art class soap to get the paint off your hands. What is this? But people are noticing that there's a phrase on the bottle that says magic soap. And then on the inside of the bottle, you see like a picture of the creator of the soap, I believe Dr. Bronner. But the way it looks on the inside, it does look a little spooky, okay? It does look a little demonic. And people say, oh my God, they put a demon inside the soap. This is not right. There's so many people that are saying, oh my goodness, like my discernment is going off. I cannot use this soap anymore. It says magic soap. Now the word magic is demonic. Not y'all following after JW's, honey, the Jehovah's Witness, because they used to do that. Everything that had something to do with magical, like they couldn't watch Disney. I remember I had some cousins that couldn't watch with Timmy Turner, Fairly Odd Parents. Like, they couldn't do that. Now y'all saying magic is demonic, child. Y'all ain't never used no magic eraser, so I guess y'all can't use magic eraser no more. Like, anything that got magic on it is goddamn demonic. That is so, that I know the Lord is looking at us and laughing, because, honey, this is psychosis. This is actually psychosis. And then there was this lady that went viral on TikTok not too long because, you know, this cop. I feel like people on TikTok, and this is the part where I say TikTok is getting annoying. They hop on a trend because it's trendy, and then they just, because this girl was talking about her experience with using this perfume called, it's a Arabic perfume, and it's called Yara. Okay. And this girl talked about how she had a dream. Okay. You heard it correctly. She had a dream of basically the perfume being demonic and somebody in the dream telling her not to use it and that it's evil and this, that, and the third. Come to find out, she did a quick Google search and found out that Yara is actually like a name for like a water goddess, like an Arabic water goddess. So yeah, Arabic religion doesn't coincide with Christianity. So it's devil worshiping. It's evil. It's demonic. You know, way to go. You're xenophrickinphobic. Okay. What is going, like I said, what is going on? This is people's culture, you know, and people use that as a play on to their companies and stuff like that. I mean, that doesn't mean that it's freaking demonic just because you had a dream. It's getting scary. Like I said, it's psychosis, because what if a dream tells somebody, well, you know, the Lord told me to kill you, so I got to kill you. What's stopping somebody from doing that? You get what I'm saying? I'm always looking at the slippery slope of things, and the way we're going into these days now, girl, I just don't know. People are freaking weird. And, you know, that's just that on that. Another topic in the whole TikTok beef of the week, we have a resurgence with this pandering conversation. So basically a podcaster that is a host of the Grits and Eggs podcast, Deontay Kyle, he got dragged by a bunch of men. You know, they said that he was pandering to women. Basically, the reason why they said he's pandering to women is because he basically called out men for not holding other men accountable for how they treat women. You know, when we see those videos, those unfortunate videos of men at large just doing what they're doing. They hitting on women, they beating on women, they doing all this other stuff in public, you know, because they didn't get like the reaction that they wanted when they catcalled a woman. You get what I'm saying? He's calling that out. He's saying that men need to be more accountable of, you know, other men and calling them out on their bull crap. Because at the end of the day, with these situations that be happening in public, the men in there don't be doing shit. Like, I'm not, you know, and it's not even just to say you need to, like, whoop-de-whoop, you need to start fighting these dudes, you know what I'm saying? Maybe call the cops or maybe call the authorities or something to get this man off of this woman. No, that's kind of weird. But he got dragged, right? This is an age-old story. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, to be considered a man, you have to coincide with everything. Like this narrative that, you know, if you are supporting women, if you stand up for things that are right and you don't, you're not, you know, you're not trying to call out your boys, your homeboys, you're less of a man because you're not following the status quo of what it is to be a man. I feel like that's a very hive mind mentality, but there's definitely some truthness into what Deontay said. Like there's a lot of men that are very dangerous. You get what I'm saying? And for the other side of the argument, and we're not going to say names because I don't want to talk about irrelevant people, but the whole argument of, well, if you show up in the lion's den, what do you expect? Talking about these clubs and these social events, nobody's saying. Like, okay, yes, that happens in clubs. You know, women, there be men that be acting buck wild against women in clubs and many social events that involve liquor and stuff like that. But we ain't talking about that. We ain't just talking about the clubs. We talking about work environments. We talking about shopping centers, your own freaking home. Situations like this happen. And there's men around that don't do nothing. And I think that's what he was trying to say. I believe that's what he was trying to say. And because he said that, he's considered pandering. You know, it's unfortunate that we still, you know, like I said, it's an age old conversation. You know, I just feel like this conversation, it's going to keep on happening. And, you know, it's people that, you know, they feel they have their feelings on this. And, you know, until we start to hold men accountable for the toxic things that they do, we're just not going to see a change. Now, I did say I was going to talk about DDG Child. I forgot to talk about this. I mean, it's real quick before we get up out of here. Why, girl? Now, DDG's brother Dub basically got into a massive brawl after somebody called DDG doo-doo garbage or whatever. And as you can see here, child, it's sensitive content coming and got Melanie. They go over here going buck wild because somebody said that. And then a whole fight broke out. So now you beating up hecklers. At the end of the day, Chloe, you need to add this to the notes. Okay. When we talking to that judge, I need you to get all these screen grabs right now and show this is who he is. This is who he is. Okay. Well, that's all I have for today, child. I hope you enjoyed this episode as I did. It's a lot of editing I got to get into, I can see right now. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I will see you guys next time. Bye.